thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Four. And we're going to be looking at that, and then we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 11, but if you'll mark those two, then we'll move from one to the other throughout the message. Just had a report from the International Singers, and want to keep them in prayer. The second day inland is always that day of jet lag, so they fight that through because they just don't have a moment of time. They've already had a couple of performances. They're in REL and performing. They were first day. They were in the valley where David slew Goliath, and Cheryl told me they all took a stone and they threw it out there to slay their giants in their lives and for us back here. So keep them in prayer. Keep all of our people in prayer because we have various teams that are going out throughout the summer. The youth and the adults are going out for short-term missions trips. And just remember that as you go through your summer vacation, let's just throw up a prayer for each and every one of those that are there. We've been on the subject of what is in our notes there. Look at your notes. The Great Three. Say it with me. The Great Three. The way we came up with this particular title is that for several months before the summer, my heart was stirred to get back on the subject of those three great qualities, faith, hope, and love. So as we were looking at it together as a team, we found this translation in the Phillips translation, which says, in this life, say it with me, in this life we have three great lasting qualities, faith, hope, and love. And that's why we're calling it the three greats, faith, hope, and love. Each one of them, I think, are very significant that we have a little bit better understanding. We've talked about it. You always talk about faith, hope, and love. It's included in so many different messages. But we wanted to take part of the summer and kind of focus in and maybe from a new perspective look at these great qualities and need to apply them to our lives so we can be more effective for the love. So we started out with faith. So that's what we're talking about. And as I find out, as I get into this chapter, which there's 40 verses in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith book. It's a list of heroes of faith. It's a list of not only the different men and women that were characterized by faith, but as you study each one of their lives, you begin to find out what the characteristics were of that faith that they walked in. Because the Bible says more than once, several times, over and over in the New and Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Faith, the word, the subject has been tossed around for centuries. More recently, in the last 40 years or so, I mean, there have been literally hundreds and thousands of books written on the subject of faith and how to believe or what it is to believe and not to believe. There have been movements that have focused in on the subject of faith, and they've been called the faith movement. There have been so many people that have spoken to us and of what faith is. But you know, what's going to make a difference is, what does faith mean to you? What does the Bible say and speak to your heart concerning the subject of faith? And I want us to hear from the Lord today. So I'm going to take a moment, even right now, while you're seated in your seat, put your hand on your heart, if you will. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as we approach this subject that is so important to our lives, Lord, you said the just shall live by faith. So I pray, Lord God, for these next moments, we'll give you our undivided attention. Lord, we're not going to be thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon or what we did yesterday. We're going to just focus in on what you want to speak to our hearts because, Lord, it is very, very important to each and every one of us. We want to know. Lord, as we lay our hands on our heart, we're asking the Holy Spirit, move, bring something fresh, bring something new to our awareness, that truly we might live our lives by faith. You said without faith, it's impossible to please you. So we certainly want to have that faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at the verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now go back to Genesis, if you will, chapter 4. That's the very first book of the Bible, chapter 4. And we'll read about the life of Abel. It says, by faith, Abel. I've talked about Abel. I've talked about Cain. I've talked about that incident very briefly, and I believe at maybe a level that I haven't really approached at this particular time. But we're going to focus in on this message just on the life of Abel and Cain, and as they exercised what was faith and one exercised which wasn't faith, his brother Cain. So we're going to look at the incident where it comes up in chapter 4 of Genesis. Now, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. One was a rancher, one was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn, say firstborn, of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? He said to him, he just couldn't understand this. He was very angry. And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Very important verse. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, what we're going to explore today, and like I said, we're going to go a little bit deeper in this, because I believe it's really foundational to the subject of faith. I say that for several reasons. Number one, it's the first mention of a man who walked by faith. So we can safely say that Abel was the first man of faith. Now, when I say that, probably what's going through your mind right now, well, how about Adam and Eve? Weren't they men and women of faith? No, not in the same way. Because you see, Adam and Eve had the privilege of sight before the fall. They saw God. They walked with God. They were in the presence of God. Whereas Cain and Abel were born outside. They were conceived outside of the garden because Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. Therefore, they were conceived outside of the garden and they did not have the privilege of sight. Therefore, they walked by faith because what? Faith is not seeing but believing. So Abel, who did not see, believed. Okay, so he was our first illustration, or he's the first man of faith. The point being this, Adam and Eve saw and believed. Abel had not seen and yet believed. If you remember what we dealt with last week, it was Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, one verse. We said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what? Things not seen. That's faith. So each and every one of these that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 had a testimony that they walked by faith. Why? Because they never really saw, but they believed. What did they believe? They believed God and they believed God's word. That's what Abel believed in God, but Abel also believed in his word and acted upon it. We begin to see the difference between Cain and Abel right away, because both of them knew about God. Both of them, by faith, had heard about God. But you see, Cain did not respond or act on his faith. He didn't respond to and truly believe the word of God the way it was spoken to him. And you'll see that in just a moment. A couple things. Let's just make a couple of notes. You notice on your notes there, I left some lines so that you could just feel free to put jot things down as the Holy Spirit would quicken them to you as I make mention of them. Three things about Abel here that we see. There was a distinction between him and Cain and their response to the Lord. Abel offered a better sacrifice, number one. We'll find out why it was a better sacrifice. Number two, because of that, he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. And number three, he then becomes a model of faith. Why is he a model of faith? Not a model of faith just for people 2,000 years ago, but for people that are living today in 2011, because it says, though he is dead, what does it say? He still speaks. This model, this act that he performed, his approach to God becomes a model to us how we are to approach God, which will then be attributed to us as faith walk or a righteous walk before God. Let me put it another way. Because he believed, he offered a better sacrifice. Catch the words here. Because he believed, he offered a better sacrifice. Because he offered a better sacrifice, he had been made righteous. Because he had been declared righteous, he forever becomes a voice or a model to us about faith. Now, we may mention that Abel was a keeper of the flocks or a rancher, and Cain was a tiller of the ground, a farmer. Both of them are great professions, great things to do. None of them, that certainly can't be held against them. But both of them were born after the fall. Both of them were born in sin. You see, everyone born after the fall is born in sin, beginning with Cain and Abel, to everyone down to this day. Everyone is born with that sin. Some people call it the original sin, but it doesn't matter what you call it, is born in sin. It is passed down to us. Now remember some of the words that we used here. Abel offered a better sacrifice. Let's talk about this subject as they approach the act of sacrifice. Three things again. Act of sacrifice. Number one, take note of this. There was a time for the worship to take place. In the process of time, it came to pass. So it says about Cain and Abel that there was a certain time. That could have been the end of a week, could have been the end of a month, could have been a harvest time, it could have been a seasonal thing. But in the process of time, now, I guess I don't want to back up, but I want to make this very clear. God is a God of order. Would you believe that? Everything God does, there's order about it. His creation, there's an order to his creation. There's also an order to the walk that we have before him. It's not just whatever happens, happen type attitude when you serve the Lord. There's an order to it. It began right in the garden. It continued after the garden and all the way down through history, not just biblical history, all down through the history of man. There has been an order of things as the way that we're to approach God, the times in which we are to approach God. So there's time for worship. The second thing I want us to note here, that there was a place of worship. Notice what it says here. In the process of time, Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. I don't know how many of us really stop to think about that. Where did they bring the offering? They brought it to the Lord, but there was a place of offering. Now, I'm going to enter into the area of maybe. Is that okay? Maybe, could have been, It's quite possible, but I think we have a little bit of maybe background to substantiate what we're saying here. The place of our, where was this place of worship? Now, if you're in Genesis, look at one more verse with me. At the end of Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 24. After the sin had been committed, the act of disobedience, it said, so he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. If you think about that for a moment, why was God so specific when he said he not only drove them out of the garden, but he drove them out to the east side of the garden? He could have left it without saying specifically any direction. Could have been northeast, southwest, but he said to the east side. And it says that he put a cherubim, an angel there, with a flaming sword that was waving each way to guard the way of the tree of life. Now, I just wonder if maybe this was not the place of worship. Maybe that at the east side of the garden, that they would be brought to a particular place where they were to offer their worship to God. Now, let me substantiate that a little bit further. Because he is a God of order, we move later on, and he gave instructions for the tabernacle. That would become their place of worship. Very specifically, he made three parts to the tabernacle. There was part of the worship took place in the outer court, part of it took place in the inner, and then the rest of it took place in the Holy of Holies. There was an order about it. The first temple, there was a place they were to bring their sacrifice or their worship. In the second temple, Solomon's time, there was a place to bring worship. So all down through this history, there was a place. So just maybe this was the place. Now, in each one of those places, it makes mention of a mercy seat. When you bring a sacrifice to God, you bring it to a place of mercy. Because what are we asking for? Mercy. We're asking for God to overlook, because of the sacrifice we're getting, to be merciful to us, to forgive us. You see, to accept us when Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's a couple things significant that happened. Number one, when he died on the cross, back in the temple, there was a tearing of the veil from the top to the bottom that made access from the holy place to the Holy of Holies. All right, that was important because when Jesus died, he suffered and died and shed his blood for us. Hebrews goes on to tell us that there's also a tabernacle in heaven. There's also a mercy seat. It mentions a mercy seat in heaven. So Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior, as our great high priest, actually took his blood and poured it on what? The mercy seat. And God looks down over the mercy seat and accepts us. Why? Because of our righteousness? No, because of the blood sacrifice. So again, establishing that God is a God of order, and it's quite possible that this was a place. Just something to think about. Thirdly, though, the most important thing here, not only was there a time for worship and a place for worship, there was a way to worship. Say it with me. There's a way to worship. God has a way of doing things. Now, it's a way. Man also has his own way. Proverbs tells us that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that way is the way of destruction. We think we know better than God a lot of times. Would you say that's true? Man has continually thought that we have a better way of doing things. And even our approach to God, we have chosen our different ways of approaching him. And we believe that it's an acceptable way. But let me say something about that. There's only one way to approach God. That's his way. It's not any old which way. It's not how you feel like doing. It's not what popular opinion tells you is right. It's not what this particular group or that particular group says. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, saying all of those things and this way that we're to approach, the difference then between Abel's approach and Cain's approach is why. There's a totally different altogether. Why is the question, did God accept Abel's, and why did he not accept Cain's? Let's get into that. Abel offered the firstborn of his flocks, correct? Yes. By offering the firstborn of his flocks, there had to be a sacrifice of the shedding of blood. Whereas Cain offered the fruit of the ground, the farmer, the grain, or whatever it might be. He brought that. Now, both of them were sacrifices. But one was done in faith and the other was not done in faith. And the reason Abel's was accepted and we consider it was done in faith is because of what he knew to be true, the proper way to approach God. How did he know? And was it hidden from Cain? No. Both Cain and Abel knew exactly how to approach God. Let's go back and let's talk about it for a moment. How did they know? Their mom and dad shared it with them. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 were living in this garden. It was a beautiful place where they had everything they needed to provide for their lives. It was a great relationship they had with the Lord. Not only did they have everything they needed, but they had the presence of God to be with them on a daily basis where they walked with and they talked with and they communed with God, whose desire was them to eternally have this relationship. There was only one stipulation, and that was is that they could not eat one tree, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what happened? Eve was tempted. She gave into the temptation, disobeyed God, gave it to Adam, her husband. He disobeyed God. Now, here's the important part. God came down, as was his habit of doing. And when he came down this time, he cried out, "Adam, where are you?" But Adam and Eve weren't there like they normally are, because they were hiding. And God said, "Well, why are you hiding?" And they said, "Because we are naked." Now, think about this for a moment. They were naked before. There was no problem. But you see, something, this what we're talking about naked this time is what had happened. Because of sin, the consequences of sin is shame and guilt. There's an uncovering. You feel naked. You feel exposed. And that feeling that they've never had before because they were living in obedience because of disobedience. And this is what disobedience will do, folks. It exposes you to the elements. It exposes you to the consequences. It exposes you to the guilt and the shame. So what did they do? They hid themselves in the bushes. They tried to cover themselves, if you will. You can't cover yourself from your sin. I don't care what you do. And there are people trying to hide from God. They're trying to hide their sin in some way. Some people hide it in doing good works. Other people hide it in belonging to a good church. Or others by being involved in a lot of good activities and giving to good programs. So they're trying to hide this guilt. You cannot cover or hide your guilt and shame by any other way than God's way. Abel knew what God's way was. Now, what was God's way? You go back to that garden. So God then, what happened? He said, "Come on out." And he took the skin of an animal, we're told in Genesis chapter 3, and he covered them. God covered them. Now, what did it take for God to cover them? And I don't know if we stopped and really thought about this. God did something that I think literally broke his heart. He had to kill an animal. He had to kill one of his creations. Something so beautiful that God himself, our creative God, put together. And you look at our world and you look at the animal kingdom and you look at the different things that we have and the sea world and the air and the forest and the jungles and things like that. It's all so beautiful. And God, because what? The penalty of sin was what? Death. Death entered in for the first time ever. It was the death of an animal. Because you see, when they take the skin, you don't take a skin off an animal unless you kill that animal, and there's a shedding of blood. So he took the skin and he covered them. Now, Adam and Eve knew that this is the way to be covered. They knew this is the way to approach God. They told Cain and Abel, "This is the way we're to do it. This is the acceptable way of coming to God. There has to be the killing, the shedding of blood, and it needs to be the best that we have. It needs to be the firstborn of what we have." That's exactly what Abel offered to God. The firstborn of his flock, the best of his flock, it was the shedding of blood. Both of them brought a sacrifice. But the Bible tells us in Samuel that it is better to obey than it is to sacrifice. The obedience to God's way was a more acceptable thing for Abel than it was just to sacrifice. Now you got to follow this, because there are a lot of people in the world today that consider they're sacrificing, but they're not coming God's way. Therefore, they're separated from what is God's best and what is will for them. So they knew, they were instructed by Adam and Eve. Are you still with me? As we follow through, because this is the foundation to our faith. This is where it begins. This is our model that we have here, Abel. So God says to Abel, yours is acceptable, Cain, yours isn't. Now I want you to go back to Genesis. I want you to look at Genesis 4. We need to read what happens here. And Cain's response to it, as also an example of things not to do. Verse 5 said, he did not respect Cain and his offering. As a result, Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, so Cain comes, if you could just picture this, if you will, and they brought it to the place of sacrifice, to the mercy seat. They offered it to him, and God immediately says, Cain, you know, Abel, great. I mean, it's acceptable. Cain, that's not what I've told you to do. That's not the way you approach me. And he became angry, and God comes to him out of mercy and grace. Still, God is not, didn't give up on him or tell him immediately, get out of this area, you're cast from my presence forever. He actually comes, and I think there's a plea in those words of God saying to Cain, if you can, listen, Cain, you made a mistake, more than a mistake. You have sinned. You haven't come the way you should have. You have disobeyed my word. You see, the reason why Abel is listed as a man of faith is because he obeyed God's word. He not only heard it, he acted on it. Cain heard it but didn't act on it. He acted in his own way, not God's way. So God's pleading to him, listen, if you just do well, you'll be okay. I believe at that moment, here's what Cain could have done. Cain could have gone to his brother and said, listen, would you give me, or I'd like to buy as a sacrifice, one of your firstborn? Because that was the order later on that they would go and purchase the animal. So he could have traded his grain, he could have traded the fruit of his ground for something that was acceptable to God and brought it to him, and God would have forgiven him. Would have been totally different. But here's the warning he gives to Cain, and here's the warning for each and every one of us. Look at that verse again. And that verse again is, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Listen, one act of disobedience leads to another act of disobedience that leads to another act of disobedience that leads to another act of disobedience. Do you follow that? Because sometimes we think, well, we understand God's word and we're not quite following it, and we're kind of justifying it and rationalizing it in our own mind, and maybe I could just twist it a little bit. And God said, listen, you're living in dangerous territory. Not to fully obey. See, to partially obey is to totally obey. There's no such thing as partial obedience to God in his way. There's one way to come. So the danger here is that sin and its temptation lies at the door. I want to tell you, folks, temptation is all around us. And there's always that power of sin that Romans chapter 6 talks about. And God's warning to us is, listen, be careful, because every time you disobey, the desires of sin are going to get stronger in your life. Now, what happened to Cain? After this, by not heeding even to that move of God to give him a space of repentance. And the Bible says there's no temptation that comes your way that's not common to all men, but that with the temptation, God will make a way of escape for you. So none of us are without excuse. So when the temptation comes, God always has a way of escape. It's in a moment of time when you have a choice to make. And the choice is, I will Resist that temptation and flee from it. Run from it. I don't want that part of my life. It's going to destroy my relationship with the Lord. It's going to bring guilt. It's going to bring condemnation. It's going to bring consequences, and you run from it. You have that moment of time when God said, listen, do what is right. Act on what you know the Word of God says, or don't. So Cain did not act. What happens? It led to him killing Abel. So that act of disobedience then leads to, now he became angry at God, but you see, he did not see the sin in his own life. Now let me go one step further. The difference between Cain and Abel. The difference between Cain and Abel was this, is that it's obvious in this that Abel, by bringing what God required, doing it God's way, he was aware that he was a sinner that needed salvation, atonement. He knew it. And I think what we read here is that Cain, he didn't really realize he was a sinner. He didn't want to recognize that he was a sinner. He didn't want to confess that he was a sinner. So the result of it was he did not see the need to bring the kind of sacrifice that God required. Listen, we live in a world and a culture where people do not see the need to atone for their sin. We use words like, well, we haven't done our best, or we made mistakes, or maybe we don't always do it right, but God is God and he'll accept us the way we are. No. There's a way to approach God. Now, just as I am, he will accept me if I come by the way that he has designed, and the way that he designs, because all of this, talking about the blood sacrifice, fast forward down to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He was the firstborn of God. He was to be offered on the cross, and the cross he would die and shed his blood, and he would be raised from the death. The acceptable way to approach God is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what we have today are people trying to approach God all other ways and all other means, trying to make it acceptable to God. Are you still with me here? That's where we're living. So a lot of people hide themselves in religion. They hide themselves in their good works. They hide themselves in a deceptive attitude that you're okay and God doesn't really mind if you. Listen, be very, very careful. This book tells me there is a way to approach him and there's a way to serve him. My life will be marked as a life of faith when I act on the written word of God. And the Word of God tells me. So when someone comes to me and they make an argument, well, you know, God doesn't really mind if I sleep around. He doesn't really mind if I get involved in this or involved in that. He knows me. He knows my weakness. And, you know, he's a loving and forgiving God. Danger. That's not a life of faith. That's a life of doing what you want to do and approaching God the way you want to approach God. Because there are a lot of people who claim to know Christ today. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians today. But they're not living according to the Word of God. I have to ask the question now. You say, well, you're judging now. I'm not judging anything. God doesn't even judge. We judge ourselves. It's written right here. When you disobey this, you disobey the way of approaching God. And then sin lies at the door. Consequences are there. And unfortunately, the consequence and the deception that we live under could lead us to a moment when it's too late. And I don't want anyone in this room to come to that place. There is a way. Now, Cain's way, here's what we have about Abel. Abel is the first illustration of the man of faith. You know what Cain was? He was the initiator of false religion. He started false religion. We have all our religions today based on how Cain tried to approach God that wasn't acceptable to God. His way of approaching God, his way of doing things, and therefore he is the head of false religion. Fast forward already to Jude in the 11th verse of Jude in the New Testament, and it says this. Here's the phrase, the way of Cain. And it talks about a world and a culture and a system that there are many that follow the way of Cain. Cain never did ask for repentance. Even after he killed his brother and God comes and said his blood cries out, he never does repent and ask God for forgiveness. He just gets angry at God. You know what the world does? The world gets angry at those that say there is only one way. The world gets angry and they call us right-wing fanatical Christians that only believe you can go to heaven through Jesus Christ. Yes. That's what we believe. But the world will look at you and say, oh, that's silly, and you're this and you're that. You don't understand God, and he's loving and forgiving. How could he send anyone? Listen, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Hell was not even designed for man. Do you know that? Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. God has given us every opportunity to accept him and follow him. When you reject it, you reject God's ways. Now, let me just camp just for a moment on this subject of approaching God with our best. This principle begins with Abel and runs all the way through the Bible. Now, I'm going to take it beyond our salvation, okay? Because salvation is by faith and grace. I have faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection, and I accept the gift of faith or gift of salvation by grace. That's my salvation. But after that, you know what the Bible tells me in James? The James, it tells me that faith without, come on, I didn't say it, so you did. But let's say it together, works. In other words, faith without acts, about following through on what you know to be true in the Word of God. The faith walk is acting on God's Word. It's taking a hold of it and letting it lead and guide your life. Faith without works is dead. Therefore, there is a way. There are principles. And the principle that starts with Abel right here is the principle of bringing the firstborn or the best to God. Serving him with the best. Giving him your all in all. What does Jesus say? He emphasizes this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. In other words, everything you have is how you serve God. It's not a wishy-washy, serve him the way you want, sometimes in and sometimes out, and he doesn't care if I do this or that. Listen, read the Word. Know the Word. Know what God says. The Word doesn't bring limitation. It releases the blessings of God. We have somehow, the devil told Eve in the beginning, here was a deception. You see, if you'll just disobey God and listen to me, you're going to have a better life. God is restricting you. What does the devil say? He said God wants to restrict people. God doesn't restrict people. He wants to free us. Free us to be everything that he created us to be. Free us to see the windows of heaven open and pour out a blessing. That's why to approach God with the first and the best is an attitude and a principle that goes from Abel all the way up to today. Therefore, give God your best. Not your leftovers. You know, we talk about the words in Proverbs where it says you give the Lord the first of your increase. We talk about Malachi where you tithe, the whole tithing thing we talk about. Listen, it's not an issue of finances to be able to continue ministry. That is secondary to the attitude and the truth of what God is saying. God knows, left to ourselves, we will do it man's way. We will go the way of Cain. And we'll bring God what we think we should bring God when God is very clear, you give him the first and you give him the best. Come on. Because God wants you to be free. He wants to bless you with more and more and more, but we hinder him by knowing what is true but not acting on it. It's like stiff-arming God in that area and say, okay, you might know something about this other part of me, but this part, you see. So that's why we get all the way up to Matthew and it says, seek ye first, say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's bring it to a conclusion on your notes there. Three things and we're going to end our time. Being dead still speaks. In what sense does God speak? Three things. Number one, you come to God only by faith in his word. There's no other way but by faith in God's word. God's word is through Jesus Christ. That is the acceptable sacrifice. No other way do you come to God. Number two, you have to believe it and then act on it, is the second thing we have. And number three, you have to recognize the need for sacrifice to cover your sin. There's two things we're going to talk about and then we're going to end. Number one, there are some here today that need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've tried to be good, and maybe you've been in the Christian movement all your life or grew up in a church all your life, but have you really come to the place? Here was Cain's problem. He never really recognized that he was a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's a testimony. Last night, we have people that were baptized. I stood up here and I watched an elderly gentleman make his way up those steps. I walked over to the tank, caught my eye, and I stood there, and Pastor Gary was baptizing, and this man was a World War II veteran being baptized. I talked to him while the baptism was going on, and his testimony was this. He said at his age, which is close to 90, he walked in this church and felt the presence of God and gave his heart to Christ. I tell you, that's a big thing, folks. And there he was, close to 90 years old, and he was being baptized in obedience to God. It's a very difficult thing, the older you get, to put aside your ways to accept God's way. But he knew he needed to do it. Folks, whether you're young, like these that were up here on the stage that did such a great job, or whether you're 90 plus, we all need Jesus Christ. We need to accept him. If you haven't accepted Christ, please don't live in the shame and the guilt and separation and the deception of it. The second thing, for us who have accepted Christ and we're walking with him, let's make sure that we're reading the word and we know how to live this life of faith, that we're taking the promises of God and not just being hearers of the word, but what are we to do? Be doers. There are too many of us coming and looking into this book and seeing what manner of person we are, like a mirror reflecting back to us. But like James says, we close the book and we walk away and we live our lives the way we did before. And somehow we justify our lifestyles. Don't do it. Would you stand with me, please? Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord. We're going to go into a song that's a song of just simply giving it all to Jesus in a moment. You feel free to hang around and let God move on your heart as you come to the altars. Matter of fact, those part of our prayer team, you can make your way up immediately after this prayer to the altars. We'll be here for you. But let not a person leave without making a commitment to Christ. So, Father, we stand here before you this beautiful June day. But Lord, we stand humbly before you, realizing, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord God, that you have designed a way, you have given a purpose, and Lord, a direction to us in your word. First of all, to all in here who have never really considered their salvation, or maybe they've considered it, but never really took that step, that act, and came to you by faith, in the word, and by your way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we get hung up on this sin thing, not willing to recognize. Cain was not willing to recognize that he needed atonement, that he needed forgiveness of sin. Abel was accepted because he realized that he was a sinner and he needed a covering. He needed God's mercy. So if you're here today and you haven't done that, would you just open up your heart and just simply, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. You're a holy God, and I'm not. But I believe in Jesus Christ today that he died for my sin and took my place. And now I am covered with his righteousness, and I approach you not in my own righteousness, in his righteousness. I believe that he died and rose again, and I accept Jesus as my Savior right now. And now help me to live for you. And Father, for all of us, as we dismiss ourselves, Lord, we want to walk in your presence each and every moment of every day. And Lord, we know that there's a way that you have for us, oh God, a way of obedience, a way of instruction from your word. Help us, Lord God, to be obedient. Lord, if there's something happening in our lives that is not right, if we're involved in something, oh God, that's not of you and not something that you desire for us, or as a matter of fact, you've spoken out against it, Lord, let us change that right now. Help us to not only recognize, but Lord, make a decision to change and follow you. By the help of your Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, give us the strength to do that. Lord, we want to live changed life. We want to be new creatures every day in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.